thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here, my boy Ray Jeezy. Will T's a little late right now, but hopefully he'll be on time, or close enough to being on time.
He's not on time. It's not even close enough to be on time. The show has started. He's not here. He's late. At work, we're marked late. I don't know about your job, but we're marked late if we're not here when the show starts.
Look, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, man.
Doesn't work.
You know what I mean? He's on CP time.
It doesn't even matter. I wonder what his day was like. I'll tell you what mine was like. First of all, I started out at the NVA, aka the DMV.
Yeah.
Did you get any documents about like the Real ID Act? Have you seen that yet?
No. What's that?
It's basically you have to prove who you are if you renewed your license at a certain point, because they're not sure if people are being honest. Like, you can get your license now.
Mm-hmm.
Online,
yeah.
They'll mail it to you, and you don't have to provide.
You don't have proof. To go into the
no. So anybody could order that for me, basically.
Okay.
So now you have to provide Social Security, two pieces of mail, and birth certificate, and
all that.
It didn't take that long, but you know, if I don't went to Largo, it would have been a wrap. So
Largo is the longest NBA thing in history.
I went to Waldorf, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I heard about. I heard that's like the easiest or the quickest.
If you go when it opens, yes, but it does fill up over time. But it only took me over an hour to do that. Then.
My man Will's here. Counting Will. Money. What's that? What's that?
That's the late fee.
That's my intro.
That's the late fee you got to pay.
What's that? Strip club money?
That's my intro. Whenever you hear money. Whenever you hear money on the mic, that's me.
You said late fee.
Yeah, that's the late fee. But, you know, then I got to channel my inner Trump a bit about fake news, media.
You went over her. You was doing the Real ID thing.
I did.
How did that work out?
It was quick. I just provided documents. They scanned them and not a dip. They gave me a letter saying you fulfilled the obligation.
Did you schedule it? No,
I just went up there.
So this is going on.
Yeah,
you don't know about the Real ID?
No, I don't.
By
you got
June
your green card?
Huh?
I got my green card. Oh, you on a visa? How don't you know?
Nah, yeah. You didn't know by June 12th,
okay.
If you don't go to the NVA and provide three types of documentation, one that proves your residency. Your age and your citizenship.
What's this, some Trump thing?
No, it's the Real ID.
Thing. It's really. It is kind of a Trump thing because it's trying to make sure that illegal folks ain't living here.
Oh, okay.
So you have to provide those three documents by June 12th. If you don't, if the police pull you over, they have the right to take your license. And you have to go through the process. And
you already did yours?
I need to get mine done. I'm actually planning on going up there Friday.
Knocked it off. Waldorf. Leonardtown Road, Post Office Road, whatever it's called. I recommend you go there when it opens. It was not that many people. And that's quick. You know, it's not like you getting tags or a license. It is very quick. Wow, they send you to a certain part of the NBA and you knock it out. But
I plan on doing that Friday.
I did that. And then I watched Terry Rozier's interview today. He did several on ESPN.
Oh, I know.
And you know what? He was very candid. And
he's
then
the
media killed him for it.
They did.
And that's when I separated myself. Like, you know what? I'm not mainstream media, and I'm glad I'm not. Because I don't know who said it, but they do build you up to tear you down. Like, you get mad when people are politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as the man comes honest, they're like, you know what? He's not going about his free agency the right way. What do you mean? He's keeping it real. If the same group is in Boston, I'm not playing next year for the Celtics, period.
I think that's a real thing to say, though.
Good answer.
That's a real thing
anyway,
to say.
You're playing with to show up.
You're playing with, Kyrie's a point guard. If they sign him back, he wants to be a starter.
He took shots at Brad, bro.
He took shots at Brad?
He did.
Like how?
He said, we would practice a certain way.
Uh-huh.
And in the game, it would all go awry, basically. And it would be for naught because he switched the lineups up. He's like,
you know what?
I'm part of the second lineup. We're supposed to come in as a second unit. Instead, he's like, leave Kyrie on the floor and you guys, you know, you go in there and mix it up with him. He said, that's why my numbers were down.
Oh.
Paraphrase.
Terrible. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
We're waiting on this individual, but former USA Today senior Washington Redskins reporter and current Sports Journey Redskins insider Lake Lewis will join us to talk about the Skins rookie minicamp at 8:20. We'll debate if Davey Martinez should be on the hot seat. At 8:30, the NBA, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs. At 8:40, we'll talk about the NBA draft lottery and how it impacts the Washington Wizards. Finally, at 8:50, we'll talk about Super welterweight Jarrett Hurd losing his IBF and WBA titles to Julian J. Rock Williams Saturday night up at Fairfax, Virginia. And also, friend of the show.
He shouldn't wear that Redskins vest.
Why everybody keep saying that? No, real talk. Why does everybody keep saying that?
It's the truth.
Stop that. They be hating. That's why, man. Well, I mean, he just got his ass whipped.
Can you say ass?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, I can say ass?
Yeah, you can say ass.
Not in certain contexts.
In certain contexts, yeah.
Okay.
You can't be like, I watched Serena Williams yesterday and it was.
You can't say
I watched Serena yesterday and that skirt shoulder.
Anyway, you're good. We will talk about WBC featherweight champ Gary Russell Jr.'s upcoming fight against Kiko Martinez.
It's his last fight at this weight. He's moving up.
Well, according to him, if he doesn't fight
Javonte Davis
or Santa Cruz, he's retiring.
Yeah,
I read that. I'm not gonna be here next week. He's gonna be on next week, right?
That's the plan. Yeah, it's the plan.
Yeah, I won't be here, so I gotta ask questions.
Allegedly, supposedly. Oh, I might not be here either next Tuesday.
Okay. Well, it's be me.
I got professional obligations that day that will keep me from there. But I'll be at the National Zoo tomorrow if you want to come see me.
You be signing autographs?
Hey, whatever you need. I'll take pictures, sign autographs, whatever you need.
What? Wait. What? Wait a minute. What?
Wow.
All right. So
guys, really, y'all Hollywood now.
Who's Hollywood?
Both of y'all.
No one's really Hollywood, man.
I'm not the mainstream media. I realized that today. I'm not the mainstream media.
Guys, really, y'all the mainstream.
I'm definitely going to be outside.
Let's talk about like.
It's crazy how is it Dwayne Haskins the buzz around him that is making the show.
Let's talk about anything.
Focus, yeah, sure. Might as
that
well.
Is making the show focus on the Washington Redskins first, as opposed to the NBA draft lottery, which is getting ready to start.
Well, no,
you know why? What do we do before after the show? Actually, it's late. Hold on. Here, talk to Lake real quick before I get situated.
Welcome to the show, man. We're gonna keep you in here. why keep things a secret? This is what we do.
This is what we do. We already know what we do.
Leg.
Anyway, right now we have former USA Today's senior Redskins reporter and current Sports Journey's Redskins insider Lake Lewis Jr. on the line. What's going on, Lake?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
We're good. Ray, you want to say what's up to?
Hey, what's up, Lake? Are you the same Lake that hooked Reggie Bush up with benefits, or are you the one that is right now covering this historic draft for the Washington Redskins?
I mean, however you want to call it.
Historic. That's the term that's been used on this
historic
show.
Come on, go with the flow. Yeah. It's historic.
Yeah, it's historic, I would say. Yeah.
See, exactly.
I think it's one of their best ones in a long time. So well, we got to see how it plays out, though.
Definitely. So, Lake, the Skins rookie minicamp went down over the weekend. You were there. How did Dwayne Haskins look?
I mean, I was really impressed. You know, the irony is that one of the things that I noticed about him that I don't know if I was expecting it or not, but you couldn't help but see it. And I actually, I was standing next to Kareem Copeland, you know, from the Washington Post. Uh-huh. And I actually said to him, like, this guy's got swag. Like, you couldn't help but see it. It wasn't forced. It wasn't, you know, just, and I'm not calling Robert out. That was my guy. But, yeah. You know, Robert knew the cameras were on him.
Yeah.
I didn't get that with Dwayne at all. It was just, it just looked like a guy that knew he belonged on the field. And, you know, some of the throws that he made were eye-opening. I mean, he also had some misses. You know, he had some timing issues at times. But, you know, that's to be expected. You know, throwing the ball to guys that he wasn't familiar with for the most part. The guy that he was familiar with, Terry McClory, you know, from Ohio State with him. They connected on a lot of plays. I mean, I put one up on Instagram standing right there towards the back of the end zone. They had a nice back of the end zone kind of fade route, you know, in the red zone. And it was nice. It was beautiful to see that. So this is a guy that would throw the ball around. So, I mean, I could go on and on, but I can just tell you, you know, his size, his arm strength, his poise, it's there. And it's only going to get better, obviously, as he gets coached up and as he gets more familiar with veteran players around him. The guys he was throwing the ball to won't be there. So,
hey, Lake, obviously there's a lot of buzz about Haskins within the organization and also within the fan base. I think this is the most anticipated debut for a quarterback, obviously since Robert. But what's your read on Gruden and how he's perceiving him and how, you know, he's, what's the word I'm looking for? What has been his demeanor as he watches Haskins?
Well, I mean, I think people have to keep in mind that, you know, one of the things that I was a little getting irritated about was the whole Gruden didn't want Haskins. And I thought that was garbage, frankly. I mean, did he have a preference for another quarterback? Sure. But I always, you know, look at it this way, and I ask you two gentlemen this. If somebody pulled up in your front yard with a Bentley and then a Rolls Royce, you know, one of you may have a preference for the Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that you will not get in that Bentley and love it, you know. And I think that that was the situation. I do think Gruden, you know, may have liked Daniel Jones, which is nothing wrong. I think he's going to be a good young quarterback as well. I really do. Mm-hmm. I thought he went kind of high, but that doesn't mean that I didn't think you know, I mean, he went kind of high, but I still think he's going to be an adequate quarterback for the Giants in due time. And that might be a nice little, you know, rivalry in the making for some young quarterbacks in Haskins and Jones. But Gruden couldn't hide his enthusiasm in his press conference, you know, for Dwayne Haskins. And, I mean, he'd have to be damn near blind not to see that this guy's got something that they just don't have or haven't had in a long time. And I think if I'm Jay, I look at it this way too. You never got a chance to draft a quote unquote, and you had to deal with both of them. And you saw the deficiencies in their game, whatever, but they were never his guys. Mm-hmm. And I say that in the sense of, you know, maybe Haskins wasn't his first preference, but regardless of whoever they took in this draft, a rookie quarterback, that's the whole point. It's a rookie quarterback that Jay has to groom, and his job is depending on it. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake about it. Mm-hmm. So I think that he knows that he's joined at the hip with Haskins, and they both need to be successful for this fan base. So, I just wanted to say that because I was getting a little irritated with you know, some of my colleagues and some other folks saying that Jay did not want Haskins. That's not true. That wasn't his preference, but he knows he's got a special football player.
So from what you saw, do you think Haskins has an opportunity, a good opportunity to be the starter week one?
I mean, it would be easy for me to say no. Yeah, it would be easy for me to say no because they brought Keenum in here for a reason, and Keenum is the ultimate pro as well. I mean, Keenum is, to me, a poor man's Alex Smith as far as just, you know, he'll get you out there, he'll put you in the right, in the proper reads. He's not a turnover machine. I mean, but he will gamble. He will gamble a lot more than Alex. You know, kind of in between an Alex and Kirk, but, you know, he makes plays. However, I think Haskins is that assured of himself. And from what I saw out there with, like I said, there was 62 guys out there over the weekend. Only 20 tops will be in a Redskins uniform come training camp. You know, maybe let's just say 15, okay? From a receiver standpoint, maybe 4 out of those 15. So my thing is, he's throwing the ball out there over the weekend to you know, 75% of guys that will not be with him come training camp. That's when, you know, the real deal comes out. And to me, I think that gives him a chance to look even better. I really do. And I think it gives him a chance to make the quarterback competition a real tough decision. Personally, I think Case Keenum's going to start the season. It's a brutal gauntlet for this team, you know, their first 5-6 weeks of the season. But I've said this before. If I'm Jay Gruden and I see that this kid come, you know, third, fourth preseason game, just looks like he's possibly able to weather the storm, And if your defense is playing solid football throughout the preseason, maybe you say, you know what, I'm going to ride with this guy right away. And if Haskins can somehow navigate through that difficult part of the schedule playing 500 ball, or maybe they're 2-3, but you see that they're doing something, I mean, this could save Jay's job to me. I mean, when I say save his job, I mean maybe extend him. Because, you know, now you've got, you know, a coach that can coach a young guy going forward. And let's face it, the Redskins, I don't care what anybody says, the Redskins aren't in a position to think they're going to go out and get a big-name coach to replace Jay Gruden or someone better, because I don't know if anybody would want to come here and coach this team, knowing the GM and the owner lurk. I don't know if anybody would want to do it. So to me, Jay's your safe bet right now.
Hey,
and Wiley, you know, you and me going back and forth on this for years.
Yeah, we have. Ain't that the truth?
Like,
yeah.
Really, really quick, because obviously Haskins isn't the only rookie. There's so much more to try to fit in here. But one quick question, and the GM and owner do kind of factor into this, is would Haskins starting be the best business decision for this team?
Yeah, from a business decision, absolutely.
Okay.
It's going to sell some tickets, get some fans. Fans are already excited. I mean,
mm-hmm.
just three months ago, they were ready to burn the stadium down, pick it out at Redskins Park. I mean, hell, I even had fans tell me they didn't want to read anything else I wrote or reported on, just because they were so fed up with the team.
Ooh,
and now, over the weekend, I've had the most love ever. You know, so fans are excited again. You know, this is what happens. But I think this is legitimate. This isn't pushing up the Kool-Aid to people. You know, this is real. This is a young football team that has potential in the building. And it's not old has-beens that used to be named somewhere else and now you can come see them under senior tour. It's nothing like that. This is a young football team that we've seen over the last 2 years. They've been able to play with anyone. They've just been besieged by injuries. And if they don't have the injuries last year, I think they were a playoff team. I thought they probably would have won the division. So now you have a quarterback. You know, you have two quarterbacks that you didn't have on the roster last year competing. And you've got some additions on your defense that could make that defense special. So I just think fans, their excitement is real this time. It's warranted.
So, Lake, other than Haskins, who has been, like, the most impressive rookie?
I mean, Montez Sweat.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
And I've said this earlier. I was on another outlet earlier.
Mm.
You can't gauge too much the line play, you know, in these mini camps, just because, for one, they're not in pads. It's more like hand work, you know, technique stuff. So you really can't get too much. Like I said, the two offensive linemen they drafted looked solid, you know, but you couldn't get excited, or you couldn't say, no, they're not worth it. You just couldn't. But the one thing you could see with Montez Sweat is his speed is off the charts. Like, he right now is a rookie's their fastest defender, period.
Wow.
And I can say that. He's really that fast, you know. You know, when they were running after the end of practice and stuff, you know, there's speed there. He's just out running guys. And to put that on a guy that's, you know, between 260 and 270 pounds, that's phenomenal. And then to put him on the other side of Ryan Kerrigan, who you know is getting double teamed, this guy could come out of this season with more sacks than Preston Smith ever had in a single season.
Mm.
So I think that, you know, they've got something there. They really do.
Hey, Lake, man, we appreciate you for being on, man. We really do. Before I let you go, let our listeners know how I can catch your content and also catch you on social media.
Yeah, you can go to sportsjourney.com, and we've got some changes coming with Sports Journey. You know, name change and all that good stuff. So, you know, just stay tuned for that. But obviously you can follow me on my social media. On Twitter, it's Lake Lewis, and on Facebook, And Instagram is Lake Lewis Jr. It's Lake Lewis Jr.
All right, great, great. Hey, Lake, you're going to see me and Ray at training camp. FYI.
Of course, man. All right. Of course. Of course. So all right. We're gonna continue our debate. But,
you know it. You know it.
you know, by week eight, we'll see where we are.
I'm getting that Doug Williams interview this summer. I don't care what they tell me. It's too hot to not get interviews, man. It's too hot out there.
We'll make it happen, man. For all sure.
Right. All right, Lake. Thanks again, my man.
Okay, take care, Silas. I appreciate it.
No problem. Again, that is Lake Lewis and Sports Journey. Make sure you check them out. All right, man, the Nats are struggling. Should Davy Martinez be on the hot seat? We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to Urban Sports saying.
Rizzo.
No, say it again. Will, now you're on.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Fire my grip.
What do you got that here, yo?
Then cook something for me.
What do you let them kids go?
Then bust something for me.
Are you ducking the law?
You better run from them, Woody.
Are you playing with that rock?
Then won't you front some, Woody?
Black top, black top.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene, Will T, Ray Jeezy, myself, Wiley, we're your hosts. The Washington Nationals are 16-24. Should Davy Martinez be on the hot seat?
Get him out of there.
They're losing 4-0 right now.
I'm not a fan of Davy Martinez, man. I just feel like right now he's just being really disingenuous.
Why do you say he's being disingenuous?
Because he offers up so much optimism every time he steps on the microphone. I get you gotta fire your guys up. And most recently, what he's saying is not necessarily 100% inaccurate. Like you said, Anthony Rendon is back, Juan Soto's back. But to say our bullpen is pitching a little bit better, are you kidding me?
Well,
like they have failed.
It's relative to the beginning of the season. So their bullpen has pitched a little bit better.
Yeah, but what's your measuring stick for that?
I mean, relative to the beginning of the season. To the beginning of the season.
Well, that's
they are better.
That's easy.
They are,
all you got to do is improve your ERA by what?
What's
say
that
you
dude's
improve?
Name? Who? Rosenthal.
Trevor Rosenthal.
Yeah.
Dude, like
he brings that all. He brings that all. I'm not Rosenthal. Ain't Barraclough.
Any team would
Rosenthal
love to have
that all jacked up. He brings
Strasburg, Scherzer, and these guys, two of your top pitchers, they can't get wins because the bullpen is just that bad.
My man Taj Wilson tweeted, "Yes, Martinez should be fired. Rizzo should take more of the blame for his last six moves he had." As GM, and the learners are more like Snyder, but worse. They are cheap, and when it comes to managers and certain players,
I don't 100% agree with the statement. You can't say the learners are cheap when they just gave out Patrick Corbin 6 years, $140 million.
Yeah.
They paid $175 million for Strasburg. Gave $200 million to
Scherzer.
Yeah. And then you're gonna have to pay Rendon probably if they do decide to pay him at least $150 million, something in that area.
I'll take Maniac to back. I'm sorry for what I said about Dusty. But it had nothing to do with Davy Martinez.
Yeah,
it really didn't. It's just that I just didn't want Dusty Baker at the time.
One thing Mike Rizzo does have to be accountable for, mm-hmm. and maybe this is part of the learners not wanting to pay this type of money for relievers or a setup relief pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
But under the direction of Mike Rizzo, the bullpen has been
it's been horrible.
Been horrible.
I don't think he cares.
I think he cares. I think from an investment standpoint, I don't think he wants to pay. A lot of money for relief pitchers.
And it could be him or it could be the learners. Maybe the learners don't feel like they should pay that much money for relievers. They should pay money for like starters and, you know, everyday players.
Yeah.
Whoever it is, they don't believe in investing in bullpen.
They cut Sean Kelly right?
Yeah. Like he's, Blake Treinen got
Blake
traded.
Blake Treinen. So, I mean, Tyler Clifford.
There's another, the guy who plays for the Cubs now, but he played for the Nats. Kinsler?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
and then also the guy when the Nats traded for
bring back Cordero, baby.
Chad Cordero.
when the Nats traded for what's that, Mark, the reliever that they got from
Pittsburgh. Yeah. Oh yeah, the closer.
Yeah.
Mark Melanson.
Yeah. And then that young the young lefty that you gave up to get him, he's throwing like a hundred.
And he always could he always had that arm. He just wasn't
that. What's most frustrating is the NL East is so winnable. It's winnable.
Like
it's still a bad
because Bryce isn't playing well in
Bryce,
the Phillies.
We knew Bryce he's, you like know he's going to slump. Yeah, we knew
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Bryce is hitting like 225.
Everybody but Ryan from Nats GM is the only one that didn't know that because he was scared to lose whatever rapport he had.
Yeah.
And then the Braves aren't playing up to the level they played at last year.
The Mets are.
Inconsistent.
And the Marlins are the Marlins.
And the Marlins are Marlins.
But they beat the Marlins beat the Nats.
Yeah.
Because the Nats right now, personnel wise, especially in the bullpen,
it's the bullpen. Injuries do play a part. I mean, I'm not gonna act like it hasn't. Yeah, but Dusty had to deal with it. All managers have to deal with it. Even with injuries, they shouldn't be 8 games under 500.
It's horrible.
You know what I mean? You shouldn't be in they're too talented, regardless of the fact.
They should be at least 500.
If you're going to like be in a situation where the Mets are at now, that's what they should be at with the injuries.
I mean, even to add on to that, you know, when Davey Martinez was brought to D.C.,
yeah.
There was a great belief that he's a guy that could manufacture runs for this
team.
He's not even doing that. This team is losing. This team is scoring like one or two runs.
Bad base running, bad defense. Under a guy that you thought that would bring that to the table.
Absolutely. That was, you know, his knowledge of a bullpen and also his ability to manufacture runs. Those were the two selling points that were sold to this team, to DC baseball fans when they decided to let Dusty Baker go.
To Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream.
When they decided to let Dusty Baker go and they brought in Davey Martinez.
No, I'm with you though. And my man Mike Knotts tweeted, too soon to put Davey Martinez on a hot seat.
He's been here a year.
Look, man, this team has had World Series aspirations, and his first year was a disappointment. It was a big disappointment. Went 82-80. This season, they're 16-24 right now.
And on top of that, you have a $200 million payroll.
Yeah, you're supposed to produce.
You have to produce.
At least get to the postseason. At least
catch any games this year?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, of course.
It's not going to stop you.
Nah.
Unlike this Orioles guy over here who doesn't go to any.
We're going to break now. We'll talk NBA playoffs after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Today.
The ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
You got to be aware of the inbounder here if you're Philly.
It's off to Leonard. Defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
Yeah, that was Kawhi. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray, Jeezy, Will T, and myself, Wally. That was Kawhi's big shot against the Sixers. It bounced like 500 times. It looked like a fake movie, like the little Hoosier. If you do that dollar thing one more time, it's like a corny-ass like basketball flick where, you know,
it bounced like 100 times. Was money.
Why you gotta say corny?
And, you know, like them little corny, corny.
It was suspenseful
because in the movies, they never, like in we all play basketball. That doesn't really happen ever in game point. Like the ball doesn't bounce like 500 times before it goes in. It goes nothing but the net rattles in.
It's the nature of sports. Teresa Witherspoon hit a half court shot off the glass.
Did it rattle in though? No. It went off the glass.
Hey, it took
like how many bounces did,
how
bounces
often
did it
that
take
happen,
to go in?
Though?
I mean, that's what made it great. It was game 7.
Drops in.
And it was a game winning shot. That's what made it great.
What did you think about Joel Embiid's cry face?
I loved it.
I loved it.
I felt like I felt him at that point. I felt like, you know what?
I'm two sides with that.
I'm glad he's showing that emotion because no, seriously. It's like if you're going to be the guy that's going to step out there, you're going to talk a lot,
you're
going to be animated, then it's okay to show that type of emotion when you hurt.
Yeah.
And I feel like that show how it really is as opposed to what people think.
And
he's just doing his persona to sell Hulu or whatever.
It's two sided for me because I think I want a player like that though. Like I'm with you, Ray. Like it has to matter. Like it has to matter. Like you gotta know. Like you just lost on a crushing play. Like it's supposed to hurt. So you're supposed to feel that way. But on the same time, though, on the catch 22, we're in the age of social media. When you troll everybody and they mama, you troll the Nets. You looked at the biggest bully on the block. And now that moment hit you, like, I thought it was funny. Like, I just thought it was funny. But I do want, again, on the flip side, if he was my teammate, I'd be proud.
As a fan, I was happy to see him distraught and brought to
tears. He's supposed to.
Because of the reason that, I believe if, you know, be graceful when you win, be graceful when you lose.
Yeah.
Him. It's the consistent dig all the time, even when he's on the court. You know, the boss, it's always a consistent dig. So for him to be humbled like that, no. I liked it. Hopefully he takes it and learns from it.
He's going to become himself.
He's going to be even worse. You know? He'll be even worse. I mean,
I'm not going to say he'll get worse, but I think he'll bounce back from it and he'll put that memory.
He'll be a better player. I think he'll be a better player.
He needs to get in better shape.
Yeah,
they're going to have to manage his minutes a bit better.
I told you guys, like, when we had the group chat, he's starting to look like Shaq.
No, he's going to have to.
He's starting to
put
away. Shaq
can move at that size. That's the difference.
Yeah, Shaq moved way better at that size than Embiid. He's getting hefty.
He's going to take some of the pressure off his knees. And then also, you know, they're going to have to manage his minutes during the regular season where you realize this is the team you are. You know you're making a deep run. Kind of what Golden State learned the year they were burned out. They lost the Cavs.
No, I agree. So tonight in game one in the Western Conference Finals, the Golden State Warriors take on the Portland Trail Blazers. It looks like KD won't play the first two games of this series. Do the Trail Blazers have a legitimate chance to upset the Warriors?
No.
Dang, just no.
No.
It was cold as ice, bro.
No, here's why. What people don't understand, when KD plays with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, they have to defer consistently to KD.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't play with KD, they're able to find a rhythm. And when they're able to find a rhythm within the flow of that offense and with their shot, those guys can put up 30 apiece. I'm not going to say 30 apiece. They could put up easily.
Yeah, you can. They could put up 30 apiece.
No, I was going to say they could put up 20 apiece in a half.
Oh, in a half. Yeah, okay.
They could put up 20 apiece easily in a half if they don't have to defer to KD.
Mm-hmm.
Then also on top of that, just from a defensive perspective, the scheme, the way that Golden State plays, they'll really hone in on Lillard and CJ McCollum and let the other guys get it as they, you know, get it as they please. So that's why I think this team, I just don't think Portland will be able to match up with them.
I just don't know if guys like Al-Farouq Aminu and Mo Harkless can come up big in Oracle. It's one thing to play a road game. It's another thing to play the defending champs in Oracle. And then you have the Klay versus CJ component, which I give Klay an advantage on defense because CJ is not the most athletic guy. Obviously, he's an excellent shooter, but Klay's an excellent defender. He's long. I feel like defensively is where they have the biggest advantage because they play great team defense. If you want to switch Iggy on to Lillard, I like that.
That's
what I was about to say. If Iguodala is going to start, and I'm assuming he does
KD, he'll start.
You can easily put Iguodala on Dame Lillard, Klay on CJ McCollum, and then you can hide Steph on Mo Harkless.
I thought about that same thing. So this is the thing, though. Even that, though. So the situation. If you watch, you saw Game 7 in the Western Conference semis, right, with Portland, right. So the issue, if I was Portland, how I would do it, you couldn't hide Steph. So so Steph can play defense. I wouldn't play Harkless. I wouldn't start Harkless. I wouldn't start Al-Farouq Aminu. Even though I think Aminu could probably post up Steph a little bit if he wanted to be in the block, I would start Evan Turner. I would start Evan Turner, and because Steph would check Evan Turner. There's no way you're putting Steph on Dame or.
But who do you have as your to as your point guard with that second team? Evan Turner.
No, I mean, regardless. I mean, that's true. That's true. That's very true. But at the end of the day, I don't even like him playing point guard for that second team. That's a whole different argument, though. If I wanted to make sure Steph worked, I would start Evan Turner, though. That way, I know Evan's going to put Steph in the block. You saw Evan posted up Paul Millsap and being effective. If he can post up a Paul Millsap and be effective,
you can move. You can move Steph to the one if you want. I mean, it's not like he's handled the rock before.
You mean Steph? Yeah, you can do. I mean, there's some things you can do to kind of.
If you want to start Evan Turner, I doubt they're going to change.
Yeah, I doubt it.
But I still feel like no matter what unit, defensively, that's where the Warriors team defense is but, so strong for the Warriors, including Draymond.
But even if Klay checking CJ McCullough, what I like about CJ McCullough, he's an old school basketball player in this aspect. He's not predicated on shooting just threes. Like his mid range game is crazy, and he has a great flow game when he goes to the basket. He's a three level basketball player, as an offensive player. He's a three level basketball player. He can shoot the three, he can shoot the mid range Jace, and he's willing to take both of those shots, and he's willing to go to the basket. So like even if as great as a defender as Klay is, if Lillard is shooting well, like Klay's not bothering that shot if he's shooting well. If he's off, yeah, Klay can definitely take things away from him. But looking at CJ, if CJ is shooting the ball well, as great as a defender as Klay is, because at the same time, in Denver, the kid from Michigan State, he's a great defender. He's a really good, very good defender. And he gave him fits.
Another thing I'll be interested to see is Terry Slotts, the coach for the Blazers. Mm-hmm. He makes really good in-game adjustments on the fly. Mm-hmm. He's a great teacher, and he's a good tactician.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see how he changes up the game plan as the game evolves.
All right, so switching gears, Eastern Conference Finals starts tomorrow. Toronto Raptors take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Obviously, the matchup is Kawhi versus Giannis. Like, who wins that matchup?
I was telling somebody earlier that I feel as though Toronto has more individual talent, mm-hmm, with Lowry, Ibaka, Danny Green, Siakam. But from a team dynamic, the Bucks play better as a team, as a unit.
I don't agree on that first point. I think the Bucks have better.
You think they have better?
Malcolm Brogdon, Eric Bledsoe, Giannis.
Kyle Lowry is better than Brogdon.
He's not better than Bledsoe.
I had to argue.
But Siakam, to me, is the X factor there because
Chris Middleton.
Chris Middleton's a shooter.
But he's an All Star.
He's a good defender.
Yeah, one-time All Star. Danny Green is a shooter and a great defender.
Danny Green's not an All Star.
And he's a champion. Don't matter.
Siakam's not an All Star. I mean, I'm just countering your point. Your point was a one-time All Star.
Right. Well.
What other All Stars are there on the Toronto Raptors?
See, that's the thing.
I don't think you could judge it off All Stars, though.
You know, it's crazy because, you know, I'm with Rail because I had the same argument with somebody when somebody broke it down to me, like player for player on the starting five, not the reserve, the starting five. I think, to me, Toronto's bench plays better than Milwaukee's bench.
As a unit.
But it's been different in the postseason. They haven't been the same as they usually were in the regular season. Like in the postseason, their bench has been kind of shaking.
But then you have George Hill. Then you have
He's playing a different level.
Terry, right, what's the guy's name? Terry.
Oh, the dude from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
The shooter.
Yeah.
With the bounce. I know what you're talking about.
Then you also have Ilyasova.
Ilyasova.
Nurchik. Who used to play for Chicago?
Brook Lopez.
No. Who played for Chicago? The shooter. He played for Chicago, New Orleans.
This great supporting cast, y'all can't even name.
Nurchik.
Norchik.
It's Nurchik or something. You know what I'm talking about, Ray.
Will loves Van Vliet. But you know he's been hyping the Raptors forever, though. And now he's going to try to flip.
If we just looking how they're playing this year in the town.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I'm not helping you.
Help me, dude.
No,
Mirchik.
No, not either. I'm going to look it up, man. I hate myself like
all
that.
Right, hey, the lottery's about to start, bro. And you know what? I'm a little bit emotional right now because we were on the air when John Wall, we found out the Wizards.
Yeah, 9 years ago.
That's great, man.
Well,
I'm gonna look this up. I'm mad at myself.
Well, we were on live. We were recording that night.
Yeah.
When we found out the Wizards were gonna get the number one pick, so that was good.
Yes, Miritic.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I said.
Darn it,
he just said.
Oh, you're right, Will. Screw you, Ray.
No, because their names all sound the same. Y'all were like Jokic, Nurkic.
That's a behind the scenes racist talk.
No, it's the truth. Oh man!
Hey, no. We gotta go to break.
Wait, Patrick, draft lock is serious.
But real
boy.
Quick, who do you have going to the NBA Finals? Then between the in the Western Conference, well, going to the NBA Finals.
I got Bucks versus Warriors.
What you got?
I got Raptors Warriors.
I got Raptors. Trailblazers. Scared money don't make money.
Okay, it don't matter. From the beginning of the season, I picked Rockets Celtics, and I lost.
Anyway, the draft lottery is happening right now. We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports saying.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces. Whoa.
I done did a lot of things in my day. I admit it, I don't take back what I say. If I said it, then I meant it. All my life I won a Grammy, but I probably never get it. I ain't never had no trophy or no motherfucking ribbon. Fuck the system, I'm that girl. Bend the law, cut the rules. I'm about to risk it all. I ain't got too much to lose. Y'all been eating long enough. It's my turn to cut the food. Pass the plate with my drink. This my day. Lucky you, how you do? Woo! Y'all gotta move. Y'all gotta move. Move. Give me some room, give me some room. Give me the juice. How about the coupe? How about the coupe? How about a shoot? Y'all gotta move, y'all gotta move. Give me the juice. Back on my bullets, my back to the wall. Turn my back on you, all of you finished. Back to these bullets, it's back to the job. Put my hand out and all of you running. Back on my hood, it's back to the pushing. He taxing, I'm actually pumping. Can't fuck with you rappers, you practically sucking. You might have went platinum, but that don't mean nothing. I'm actually buzzing this time. Straight out the kitchen, I told them the oven is mine. I do not fuck with you guys. If I don't kill you, just know you gon' suffer this time. I ain't no gangster, but I got some bangers, some chains, and some blazing, a couple of nines. Choppers and jimmies, a partridge, a petri. My 20s and Christmas was nothing but lies. I run at you hot like a sumo. They say I talk like a chulo. I live in Mars, I'm not Bruno. If you're my duck, call me Cujo. You play your cards, I reverse on you all, and I might just drop all like a uno. Calle de boca, my homa, they call it Obuto, and all of you culo. Never better to level up in the ghetto, looking for something I probably can never find now. Shit get relevant till the beat died down. The truth is, didn't really want me tied down. I've been alone and I never needed nobody, just only me and my shawty. I tell you, didn't get the lie down. He bought the money, I never wanted a lifestyle. I just pray to God, I'm a son of a yard right now. I said, ain't no love for the other side or anyone who ever wants smoke. When I die, I'm going out as an underdog who never lost hope. You in the wrong cab, down the wrong path, the wrong way, wrong road. Snakes in the grass, trying to slither fast. I just bought a fucking lawnmower.
I said a lot of things in my day. I admit it, this is payback in a way. I regret it that I did it. I done won a couple Grammys, but I sold my soul to get them. Wasn't in it for the trophies, just the fucking recognition. Fuck's the difference, I'm that cracker, been the law. Fuck the rules, man, I used to risk it all. Now I got too much to lose. I've been eating long enough. Man, my stomach should be full. I just ate, licked the plate, my buffet. Lucky me, fuck you think. Woo! I got a couple of mentions, still I don't have any manners. You got a couple of ghostwriters, but to these kids it don't actually matter. They're asking me what the fuck happened to hip-hop. I said I don't have any answers, cause I took a nap when I dropped my last album. It hurt me like hell, but I'm back on these rappers. And actually coming from humble beginnings, I'm somewhat uncomfortable winning. I wish I could say what a wonderful feeling. We're on the upswing like we're punching the ceiling, but nothing is feeling like anyone has any fucking ability to even stick to a subject. It's killing me, the inability to pin humility. Why don't we make a bunch of fucking songs about nothing and mumble them? Okay, I'm going for the juggler. There's a circus, you clowns that are coming up. Don't give an ounce of a motherfucker about the ones who are here before you. That made rap, recap, way back, and tease that. Recap on tape decks, eight dats for the G-Raps and came back. We need three stacks ASAP and bring that the ace back. Cause it's half of these rappers have brain damage. Auto lean rapping, face tats rubbed out like tree sap. I don't hate trap and I don't wanna seem mad, but in fact, what I owe me at the same cat that would take that feedback and aim back. I need that, but I think it's inevitable. They know a button to press it, whatever the pull to give me the snap though. And if I paid attention, I'm probably making it bigger, but you've been taking the bitch and I'm fucking back. Walking on the freaking minute, got me thinking of finishing everything with a seed of minutes and reaping the benefits. I'm a sleeper to Willigan as I'm peeking and thinking about an evil intent of another beat. I'm a killigan. Cause even if I got it in the beating a pilligan, even ketamine and methamphetamine with a mini tin, it better be at least 70 or 300 milligram, and I might as well, cause I'ma end up being a villain again. Level to this shit, I got an elevator. You could never say to me I'm not a fucking record breaker. I sound like a broken record every time I break a record. Nobody could ever take away the legacy I made. I never gave a motherfucker. Never got a right to be this way. I got spikes inside my DNA, but I roll till the wheels fall off. I'm working tirelessly. Hey,
the moment I'm going to get DeAndre
you
Hunter.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T. Ray Wally. We're your hosts.
It's
check out
even,
the football garbage
yet,
time. This is the all Football right, Garbage Time together, podcast bro. At www.footballgarbagetown.com. It's a great show. No, I'm too excited right now. The Lakers have an opportunity to get Zion, man. It's amazing. And my man, they got an opportunity and to get my man freaking John Morant.
If you are listening to us live, thank you so much. Considering the NBA draft lottery is on. But as we saw on, what is this, ESPN, we're watching.
Yeah.
The Washington Wizards were hosting a party at Capital One for the NBA draft lottery.
Feelings are hurt.
And they're going to get the number nine pick.
Troy, Troy Halliburton, who's usually on the show.
He's having an event.
They have an event. At a Half Smoke. You know what I mean?
Well, you know.
Let me ask y'all a question.
What's up, bro?
While we were watching the draft.
The lottery.
The lottery.
This ain't the draft.
Who was calling out the picks and got it and was accurate? I'm just asking you this question.
Nobody.
Nobody. Were you
really?
You got the first two. That was it.
You got all of them right? You have all of them right?
No, I didn't get, but the ones that I picked, didn't I say Washington
would
get number
nine? Yeah, you did.
No, you got about three.
You had three. You right. So you want a cookie?
I'm just saying. I know, because it's rigged. I already know
who's going to be number one?
The Knicks going to have the number one.
Who's going to have number two?
Grizzlies.
New Orleans.
Who's three?
Grizzlies.
And the Lakers going to get four?
Lakers going to be number
Lakers
four.
Getting three, bro.
Watch what I tell you. When it goes down.
Hey, look, I'll give you all the credit in the world, and it's going to be great.
Lakers getting one.
So excited.
Lakers getting one.
They will trade that for Anthony Davis. So you will have New Orleans will have John Morant and Zion if they trade for Anthony Davis.
Dang, you're right. We're going to use that pick to get trade for Anthony Davis.
That's why I don't want the Lakers to get
one. Damn, I kind of want Zion, though. I don't want to trade.
Well, you about to have Ben Simmons, according to reports.
I know. I heard about that.
I'm joking.
I would trade, what's his face? So this, all right. So, Ray, you mentioned this. We were texting.
RJ Barrett is off the record.
He's off the record now. They can't get him at
nine. Nah, not at nine.
At
you
nine?
Can't get RJ Barrett at nine. I think you can get DeAndre Hunter possibly.
You can get DeAndre Hunter. You maybe can get lucky and get Kobe White.
Kobe White out of
UNC.
Oh yeah.
No, we don't need another point guard.
Yeah, you do.
For the Wizards?
Yes, you do.
They do need a point guard.
Man, if John Wall's heel is as bad as they say it is.
He's not coming back next season. Everybody knows that.
You don't need to draft a point guard in the first round, dog. You need a shooter. You need somebody.
Can they trade up? Is there no way they can trade up?
Who can get buckets on their own?
What are you going to get up?
Can the Wizards trade up?
No.
Is there anybody that can?
Forever, they could trade back and maybe get some value.
Yeah.
How deep is the draft?
I would trade it for Terry Rozier for real, bro. He signed a trade deal with the Celtics. I would just take him because he's shown that when guys are out. He steps up.
He can ball.
I would take that.
But then wouldn't that be an issue? Kobe
White is good. Don't get me wrong. But did you watch when he played against Jones?
Yeah.
Who's one of the better defenders in the league?
Yeah.
Tyus Jones' little brother. I can't think of his first name right now. It's escaping me. I don't know why. But
it's his brother. Tyus Jones' brother.
Tyus Jones' brother. Yeah.
Isn't it like it's? I don't know. It's the same thing. It's close enough.
Trey Jones. Sorry. Trey Jones actually defends him so well that I think he's going to have a problem in the NBA, even though, you know, obviously it's a lot more
I think dudes, I think,
John
I think
Morant is going to benefit the most from the NBA style of play because it's one-on-one. It's open.
High screen roll. There's so much you can do.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. But anyway, the Wizards, it's not much they can do. Like I said, they could trade back and try to get a veteran, good veteran.
Well, if the reports are true, first thing they need to do is they need to sign Tim Connelly, who's going to be...
There's no way I think he's leaving. He has such a good position. He has such a good situation.
That's the word on
Michael
the street.
He's got Michael Porter Jr. Yep. He's playing summer league. You already see what they have in terms of how far they got to the in the postseason. I wouldn't leave that situation.
It'd be nice if they could get Sam Presti because of the OKC ties that
look
the Wizards are
looking like. Zion looking like, I might go to L.A., New York. New Orleans, I don't want to go to Memphis.
All right, well, we're going to talk about we're going to go to commercial, I guess, while they reveal the picks and we'll talk boxing.
Do it? You want
to
do it here?
You want to stay live?
Don't stay live. Might as well. Okay. Stay live.
I'm just trying to stay on time, bro.
I know you are, bro.
I don't know why Kyle Kuzma, that's because Jeannie Buss is running the show. You got to hope that decides to retire. So.
Look at this short midget with everybody else.
With David Griffin?
Yeah, look at him.
He looks like Bill Plaskey.
Man, she should have my Hoyas in the freaking tournament. Why y'all here? You should be worried about the Hoyas. Worry about some New York Knicks stuff.
He got a decent recruiting class, but your boy Penny Hardaway stole the show.
Yo, bro. You see his recruiting class? Insane. Yeah. He stole Duke. All right,
he ain't got Cole Anthony.
Here you go, Will. Who's all his pick, Will?
Listen to
Will.
Guys.
Damn!
Will said it.
Will did say it.
Will said it. Will knows what he's talking about. All right.
Will.
Wow, that was loud, bro.
I know.
Good gracious.
Ooh. Will ain't right today.
Right, hey, pass that money over here, Will.
Hey,
no,
what's the sound effect?
Gosh.
The Pelicans going to get.
If the Pelicans get him.
Yo!
Oh my God.
Pelicans are getting Zion. Oh!
But the Grizzlies are going to get Morant.
They're going to get Morant. Yeah.
So the Lakers are going to get like RJ Barrett.
Or Cam Reddish.
Cam Reddish not going to top five.
I think the Knicks will get RJ Barrett.
Over the... I know they feelings hurt.
Man, that hurts.
That hurts. Dang, tough.
I'm not going to lie. I don't like the way this turned out.
I don't either.
I think they should go back to the old format. But now you can freely trade Davis. Get him out of there. He doesn't want to be there. That's all, folks. And, just go ahead and build your future around Zion Williamson.
If you're New Orleans, you are in a pretty good spot. Here's why. Hmm. You already have the number one pick, so you're going to have Zion.
Yeah.
So now you can leverage either the Knicks or the Lakers
to get
two top four picks.
Yeah.
And that's how you can – and on top of that, you'll also get a plethora of young players and assets, draft picks, and you can totally rebuild this thing from the ground up.
Once the Giants took Daniel Jones, you knew it was doomed. They took a Duke guy that they weren't supposed to get. And the Knicks were doomed. They were cursed.
Oh, man, this is terrible.
It is. I think that Zion really wanted to go to New York.
Yeah.
He's from South Carolina, so maybe New Orleans won't be that bad. If you read the piece that was on ESPN about just him as a person, his personality.
Yeah, he seems like
I don't know. Maybe he wanted the big city, but he seems like he would comfortable like
in a small. New Orleans ain't small though.
Yeah, but New Orleans it's not small.
But if you look at RJ Barrett, if you do get KD and Kyrie, that's a perfect situation.
It is though. Absolutely. It is. See, that's a good
you
situation.
You start him at the two.
Cam Reddish would be really good with those two.
The Knicks has some good options.
Now, if you talk to Tatum, though, Tatum might poison them dudes because he was not happy with Kyrie, and neither was Jaylen Brown. So, I don't know. We'll have to see. And there's no guarantee that Kyrie might go to the Lakers show based on what we're seeing. So,
maybe. I don't think so, though. I don't think he's coming to the Lakers, though.
But what about
I think Kyrie's going to Memphis.
Memphis, you could trade Mike. You could trade Mike Conley
to the Wizards. What's up? You're right. You could trade him to the Wizards.
Yeah, he's too injured though. You might don't
because they tried to get rid of him last year on the loan anyway.
I mean, you could trade him and get because he's making like 30.
Yeah, he's making a lot of money though. He's making
you free up that cap space.
That's
you
can tell
you rebuild it from here.
All right, so y'all want to talk boxing at the break?
Let's do it.
All right, J Rock shocked the world. We'll discuss this after the break. Just listen to the Urban Sports Saint.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. More solo. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the fear? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. Overpowering, over the competition. I'm towering, wrecking shots. When I drop these lyrics, that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare. You better move. Don't ever compare. Beat to the rest that'll all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price. I'm gonna knock you out. Mama said knock you out. I'm gonna knock you out. Mama said knock you out. I'm gonna knock you out. Mama said knock you out. I'm gonna knock you out. Mama said knock you out. Don't you call this a regular jam. I'm gonna rock this land. I'm gonna take this city, bitty world by storm. And I'm just getting warm.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Wally Ray. We're your hosts. Over the weekend, Julian Williams shocked the world and beat.
Did he really?
Yeah, he shocked the world.
He
shocked the world.
He was an underdog, but if you know boxing, Julian Williams was capable of beating.
Shocked the world. He beat our local boxer. He shocked the world.
I'm gonna let Will pretty much take the floor. Right. He's the expert.
Anyway,
but I'm not the expert. But I'll say this: if you've seen Julian Williams' previous fights, mm-hmm. and you know how Jarrett Hurd likes to stand right in front of you in the pocket and fight you, then it. I'm not gonna say styles make fight. Okay. I'm not gonna say I went out there and I predicted Julian Williams would beat Jarrett Hurd, right? But if you know the way that both of these fighters fought, you knew that there was a better than average chance that this could happen.
Well, J-Rock is the new WBA and IBF super welterweight champ. So do you think Hurd underestimated?
No, J-Rock. I thought that J-Rock is a better pure boxer than her, but her
fighting
on the inside, I thought that would have been to his advantage.
It sure was. Yes.
But J-Rock, we knew he had a chin, but I mean, Charlo rocked him so bad. I'm like, if Hurd catches him, he going out. And I think Hurd caught him around the sixth round, but he said he never hurt me. But Williams never truly hurt Hurd either, though.
Yeah.
So it was a very interesting fight. But Hurd has gotten lucky. I hate to say it, but the Lara fight, he got lucky.
Yeah.
And
looked sloppy in this fight, though, to me, too.
Well, to me,
against J-Rock, he looked real sloppy.
To me, one of his best fights was Austin Trout.
That was his best fight.
I have not seen him with that same. Because think about it. If he didn't knock out Tony Harrison, he would have lost that fight if it went to the decision.
Mm-hmm.
So he's I can't say lucked up, I guess, but it was bound to happen at some point. He's going to lose by decision just based on the last couple of fights that he's fought. You know what I mean?
Nah, I thought that watching the fight, I thought he underestimated him, but I mean, that was just my opinion. I don't think that he took it like he was fighting.
He was too caught up in the hometown stuff.
Because if you win this fight, you know, that's the back talk is you Charlo. You know what I mean? Like, I thought he looked over J-Rock, being like Ray said, being hometown. Yo. And Charlo, and then, you know, he got rocked for
Was it Spinks that fought Corey Spinks? Did he fight Zab Judah and lose in St. Louis when he had, like, Nelly walk him to the ring? Was that – who'd he lose to? Somebody.
Oh, that was – who had – that's not – isn't that –
It wasn't Zab, was it?
No. You're talking about the dude from St. Louis. Wasn't it Alexander? You're talking about Alexander?
No, Corey Spinks was from
– Corey Spinks is from St. Louis.
Isn't Corey Alexander – Devin Alexander from St. Louis?
Corey Spinks, he walked to the ring with Nelly to fight. I can't remember who it was, but then he got rocked.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, maybe he got too caught up. Kell Brook did the same thing. He fought in his hometown against Errol Spence Jr. I mean, we knew Errol Spence was a better fighter going in. But still, sometimes you get too caught up with that. Unless you're Terrence Crawford and you're fighting competition that's beneath you. I knew that Julian Williams was a scary, mandatory fighter, point blank. And for real, he's going to earn a rematch. He's probably going to get Charlo first.
Yeah.
Jermell, and then he's going to probably get another crack at Jermall, too.
Do you think he does a rematch with Hurd? I wouldn't if I was him.
He said in Philly, if Hurd will agree to come to Philly.
Oh, in Philly?
Because it's the rematch clause.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure that Jarrett Hurd's people were smart enough to get a rematch clause in this fight.
Okay.
Now, when that rematch will occur, does it have to occur immediately after this fight? I don't know. Okay. I don't know the specifics of the contract, but I will say this. I think just seeing the results and seeing the styles of these two fighters, if there is a rematch, it'll be a highly viewed fight because I looked at the stat.
It got
2.1 million views at its highest at its peak on Fox.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was because it was a rainy Saturday and people just decided to stay in the house.
I didn't understand why.
But
it was a great fight, though.
It's a great fight. Two young middleweights who are definitely on the cusp of being that next level and being a household name. Mm-hmm. So if they do decide to fight, run it back immediately in Philadelphia. Fans in Philadelphia along the Eastern Seaboard who can go to that fight going to see a hell of a fight.
All right, so this weekend on the Deontay Wilder, Dominique Brazil card, WBC featherweight champ Gary Russell Jr. will take on Kiko Martinez. Gary Russell has stated that if he doesn't get Leo Santa Cruz or Gervonta Davis next, he'll retire. What do you expect to see from the champ Saturday?
I expect to see the same thing I saw against JoJo Diaz. Him coming into the ring fresh, you know, he's had a 1 year layoff.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say layoff or it's been
a year.
It's been a year,
since his last. Yeah, since JoJo Diaz.
Yeah, that's right. You were there.
Yep. 1 year, you like guys the media. Were there. Yeah. The media was there, you guys were there. It's been a year since he's been in the ring with JoJo Diaz, but we know just from visiting his ring, visiting his gym, yeah. and also having conversations with him, yeah. he routinely goes into the gym and stays active, and so he stays in
yeah.
great shape.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So I think, you know, the layoff, I mean, not layoff, but the time he has to rest and the inactivity and, you know, keeping his body fresh, I think I expect him to dominate this fight.
He's got one foot out the door. He always talks about retirement, man, and pouring, you know, his energy into his brothers, who he knows he'll still be around, mm-hmm. you know, the fight game and all. It's not totally his fault that he doesn't secure these fights, but he's going to have to move up in order to secure bigger fights. Gervonta Davis fights at what, 130? He's at 126 now. So he's going to need to move up if he's going to want to fight, you know, like, or if he's going to want to get better fights. Santa Cruz clearly doesn't want to fight you. He keeps saying he does. Abner Mares moved up. It's not going. Carl Frampton doesn't want to fight him. There's not many people left.
I don't think Gervonta Davis's team will put him in the ring with Gary Russell Jr. at this point. Yeah. I just don't see it. I don't see it. But if it does happen, it'll be a hell of a fight for this
DC
region.
DC versus B-more.
But they're cool. They're cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a hell of a fight for this region for us to watch. I think the most likely of those scenarios is him facing Leo Santa Cruz.
Okay.
But it.
I don't know how that doesn't happen when you got Al Haymon advising both fighters.
Yeah.
It's just weird to me, bro.
Well, remember, the difference between, from what I'm told, Al Haymon and a lot of other promoters / manager and or managers is Al Haymon really works for his fighters, where the perception I get from a lot of promoters and managers is the fighters work for them, mm-hmm. right? So if a fighter doesn't want that fight, if Leo Santa Cruz says, I don't want that fight, Al Haymon will force or pressure him into taking a fight with Gary Russell Jr. I just don't. Unless a sanctioning body forces a mandatory fight.
Well, see, that's what I'm trying to determine, because after the Mares-Santa Cruz fight, Santa Cruz said, I want Gary Russell Jr. next.
He don't really want it, though.
But publicly. So it must be something going on behind closed doors, because Gary has called them out enough.
Yeah.
He called Frampton out millions of times.
He called out Davis. He called out Davis. It's on social media. I have a clip. Well, he called him out.
He did call him out.
He called him out. And Santa Cruz. Both and, I mean, of them at the same time.
Before the Diaz fight, somebody asked him, would you entertain a Tank Davis fight in the future? He said, of course.
Yeah.
He said, hey, that's my man. But I used to actually train him, but he'll get rolled over. Mm-hmm. But again, Tank is not—he's not on Tank's radar, period. Mm-hmm. And Gary Russell has been talking about moving up for some time now.
Yeah.
So why you might, if you're serious about, you know, continuing to fight at least two fights a year, then you're gonna have to move up, period. And if he wants to get Lomachenko for his last fight, which he said millions of times,
yeah, so you told us
he's gonna have to move up.
But Lomachenko ain't—I don't think he's. Would take that fight anyway. He's moving up. Like, Lomachenko's on. It's a different level.
The representation, all that.
Yeah,
it would be a whole lot of problems.
Plus, also, we're talking ESPN, Al Haymon.
Oh, yeah.
PBC. I think everyone.
Gary's not signed with Al Haymon, though. He's not.
Huh? Yeah, he's not.
He's not signed with Al Haymon. So it could happen. But Gary's going to have to
ascend. But he's still on that PBC branch, though, basically, though. I mean, he's only fighting on Showtime and PBC. He's not fighting on the other.
To some degree.
And I don't see him working with Bob Arum.
Well, no, if. We've seen fighters that are advised by Al Haymon make deals with top rank.
Okay, okay.
Gary, I forgot who he fought, and actually he was under top rank. And it was one of the first fights that Al Haymon and Bob Arum worked on. I forgot exactly who the opponent was, but it was like a couple of years back.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they negotiated that fight, so... I mean, look, if the fighters want it, we all know that, and it makes sense financially from a business perspective, then fight it, get done.
Well, this has been a great show. Any parting shots, parting takes?
Zion going to the Pelicans. Wizards, once again.
That franchise is going down.
Yeah.
If you haven't gone to get your ID, the real ID taken care of, go get it done.
And what I've learned is I need to get a green card. Anyway, you were listening to Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, man.